There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
I'm going to do a speed run of why you should get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen to all your favorites abroad when you're traveling. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, especially on that public Wi-Fi, airport, coffee shop, venue, hotel. You can also get the Nord Password Manager in case you're always forgetting your password. It's available on all your devices and operating systems, whether it be TV, phone, laptop, desktop, whatever. You can even put it on your router. They also have the file encryption tool to help protect that. 24/7 tech support, so in case you don't know how to use it, they'll help teach you how to use it. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. You can change your virtual location with just one click. Maybe the game's blacked out, you want to get pay-per-views at other prices. NordVPN.com/Fightful has all of that, and there's always a great deal going on there, but here's the best deal. 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. But you're gonna. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is February 10th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. Get that NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can change your virtual location and watch WWE Raw without commercials as I do. Also, you can watch NXT, SmackDown, all that good stuff by changing your virtual location. My hair is just not having it today. Listen, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to struggle, guys. You're going to have to, for once, look at a less than perfect SRS. Sorry, it just ain't happening today. Get those thumbs ups in. Drop those fruit emojis. All that good stuff. It helps us so much. On the Fightful Twitter and the Sean Ross Sapp Twitter, you can see all the little live streams. Retweet those if you don't mind. We would greatly appreciate that if you did that. And retweet our YouTube stream, post it out there, all that good stuff. It would mean an awful lot if you guys did that, because you spreading the word of Fightful goes such a long way. I am in the comments every day after these shows, which we stream live every night, and I am chatting with you guys. I'm trying to interact more on our Instagram. Head over there. We're posting a lot more to our Reels, to our TikTok. Fightful is everywhere, but by God, we are here right now. We are on, again, a number of X accounts. We are on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube.com/Fightful. If you want to get your question or statement read on the air, our wonderful moderator, Luis, will take that down. There are a couple that were missed last week, and I wanted to make sure that we got to them. But you can also go to humperchats.com. That's HumperChats.com. Get your question or statement in there. It's been a crazy week of news. WWE releases on Friday. AEW releases today. We are going to talk about all those. We're going to have more backstage news on these than anywhere else. If you all have any questions about them, get those super chats, get those humper chats in. We broke the news of a lot of those, and it's not fun to report that stuff. I've talked to a number of these talent, and some of them are in good spirits. Other ones, you know, just don't really know what to think, how to feel, which is understandable. But I appeared at the top of the Friday SmackDown post show, which is going to become the norm, I think. I'm going to join the top of that show as much as I can and give you guys news, but let's go ahead and talk about it. So let's start with the WWE releases for those of you who didn't see. AOP, Paul Ellering, Electra Lopez confirmed her release as well. We'll talk more about that momentarily. Duke Hudson in mid-January. We broke that last week, though. Cedric Alexander, Sonya Deville, Blair Davenport, Isla Dawn, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Giovanni Vinci. Man, so let's break these down one by one, and I want to know what you guys think about this. And if you're in the comments afterwards, let us know where you think some of these people will end up. Duke Hudson, his had already happened a couple weeks before and weren't a part of a mass release. Haven't heard why, but he did produce a vignette of his own and sort of poked fun at it. I thought it was a really good idea too. Like, he could promote matches and a lot of stuff, probably a pretty labor intensive, promo, but still. KE775 says, have you heard why WWE did releases at this time? People in NXT are of the belief it's tied to NXT call-ups throughout the year. And quite frankly, almost all of these people were not getting used. Among them, Cedric Alexander, who had been sent back to NXT. There are some people in AEW that are expected to push for him. Duh. Hurt Syndicate's there. But they're on fire right now. Also, his wife had a contentious exit from AEW, so we'll see. I did speak with him. He's in good spirits. Phenomenal talent, just incredible talent. But he had moved back to NXT. He had re-signed a new multi-year deal last year. Akam, Rezar, Paul Ellering. So when Paul Ellering sort of vanished from WWE TV the last go-around, a lot of people thought it's because he didn't want to travel. That could not have been further from the truth. He wanted to travel. He wanted to stay with AOP. They were his babies, so to speak. Like, listen, he was Shredder, and one was Rezar, and the other one was Taka. That's how he was. That's how he felt. He felt like a real sense of loyalty to them. And as a result, Akam and Rezar felt a real sense of loyalty to them, or to him as well. And they made sure that he was a package deal whenever they came back in and wanted to book him whenever they had something else going on. Now, I know that they did come into the company with a little bit of heat due to some outside projects, like, and I can't really speak too much on that. I don't know if that ever subsided or went away, but they are expected to wrestle in the future. Sonya Deville, heard from her as well, seemed to be doing okay. It was one of those situations where she had been around for 10 years and WWE was ready to move on from that situation. I could see her continuing to wrestle. I could see her maybe doing like an MMA, like celebrity fight or something like that, and getting honestly a pretty good payday in that sense. Blair Davenport. So this is an interesting one. There was a report from elsewhere. And again, I don't want to name and shame and bury anybody, but it was in November. And it claimed that with SmackDown going to 3 hours, that she was in line for like more time or a push. I asked my sources in creative then, and they said, no, that has not been discussed. I asked again in early December, was told that had not been discussed. Asked again after the holiday tour, of which she wasn't on, nothing had been discussed. Early January, nothing discussed. The first time I've heard anything regarding Blair Davenport was like late January, when she was pitched to join Chelsea and Piper. And I followed up again after the Royal Rumble, where she didn't appear, and was told, I don't know if that's going to happen, but she did have like a Secret Service outfit, all that. Isla Dawn has been let go. Alba Fire has not been. I don't know the status or plans for Alba Fire, but this is one of their tag teams that is now gone, and they do not have many of them. I would have kept her around if only for that. They had them. They were women's tag team champions, like, what, a few months ago? How long ago were they women's tag team champions? It was within the past year, obviously. Like, it's just, no care has really been given to this division. And it is frustrating to see. They were the most recent ones besides Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. Oh, man, they held these titles like 6 months ago. Damn, man. Damn. I have not heard of future plans for Alba Fire. I know a lot of people are asking about possibly her being Kaylee Ray in the future. Haven't heard anything of that. Dream Ninja says, Blair Davenport feels like she'll always have work in Japan if she wants, but maybe she goes to TNA, AEW, since she has a husband still in NXT. again, that will come down to her visa. And a lot of these talent are going to have to get their visas sorted out pretty soon. Like that will be an important element of what we're witnessing is them making sure that they've got their visa sorted out. That way they can keep working in WWE or outside of WWE, but in America. So that's something that we'll be keeping our eye on. Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. This one was interesting because a lot of people said, well, isn't Carl Anderson hurt? And I was like, maybe he healed up quicker. No, he didn't. He's still out for quite a while. I confirmed that directly. He's still looking at 3 to 6 months. Now, maybe WWE looked at it and said, well, you know, once your 3 months is up, you'll be good to go. But I don't know if that's a guarantee yet. I was shocked by that. I was very surprised that they cut a guy while he was hurt. And I don't think his deal was going to be up for quite a while. I think that they had signed pretty extensive deals. I'll look even. Sorry, I know the clickety clacking. Yeah, they were signed with WWE until 2027. So they had like a couple years left. Oh, that's a surprise. Now, clearly they didn't have any vision for them or anything like that. That's, you know, after two goes of it, like I see it. This is Gallows' like third time being released by WWE. But listen, they will always have work in Japan. I'm sure that I'm sure TNA's still on positive footing with them. And that is definitely something you got to look at and say, okay, is it wonderful that TNA is in bed with WWE? Will that affect these people and possibly getting work there? That is something to kind of keep your eye on. Giovanni Vinci, one of the most athletic people I have seen, just didn't work. What more can I say? They thought it. Some people in the company thought it would with the vignettes. It didn't work. Didn't work. He will hit somewhere. He's going to get some bookings and he'll be able to show what he can do. Electra Lopez was a very interesting one. She wasn't removed from the roster page along with everybody else when I even hit up WWE contacts, as opposed to confirming a bunch of the others. They're like, I haven't heard that. So it took a lot longer to confirm, and then she effectively confirmed it herself tonight on Instagram. Probably just a situation where they didn't see her wrestling and felt like wasn't a lot of contribution in that regard. But that was far from it. AEW had releases and departures. Now, one sticks out from all the others. Bear Boulder, who was a member of the Iron Savages, was officially booted from the company last week after he had been arrested for battery and strangulation in January. His tag team partner, Bear Bronson, who I reached out to, he was distraught about the situation. He checked on the victim personally. He issued a statement. I think that he handled that really well. And I think that AEW did the right thing. This is two for two and them immediately getting rid of people that were charged with things like this. So, or arrested for things like this. So Bear Boulder out the door. That's not it. Fightful in late 2024 had reported that Malakai Black was expected to leave the company. In January, we reported that he was done with the company. And there was an element of this that we got some pushback from people who didn't necessarily read our story. I was like, guys, he's done with the company. He's not coming back. But I cannot confirm that his contract is up yet. And there were people saying, oh, so you don't really know anything. Well, yeah, we knew that he was not coming back to the company, but we did not have it confirmed that his deal was up at that point. Now his deal is up. Free agent, free to go anywhere. Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. As are Miro and Ricky Starks. Those are two big ones. And Malachi Black, everybody expects him to go back to WWE. Miro, who had at least another year left on his deal, has been gone from WWE for almost like, what, 4 or 5 years? And he's had 36 matches. He's been healthy. There have been some creative conflicts within AEW over the last couple of years. His name had been brought up a couple times in like the last year, but not in the last like 6 months that I've heard of. The last time I heard of possibility was like the All In Gauntlet or something like that. And that didn't end up happening. So Miro, now a free agent. Miro had been interested in working for New Japan. From what I understood, it didn't end up happening. Ricky Starks is the one that has not had that opportunity at the top levels. By the way, Malachi Black had asked for a release at one point. Miro had asked for a release at one point. There were reports that they had been working on that departure, but from what I had heard, like Miro asked for the release, thought he was going to get it, and then it was kind of just radio silence for a while. Ricky Starks, interesting situation. Ricky Starks, after the departure of CM Punk, completely unrelated, but he was said to get this big push. And he asked for his release. It was around the time of the Danielson match. Or he didn't ask for his release. I want to apologize. That wasn't until later. He asked AEW to not pick up his option, which would be in spring 2024. AEW was definitely surprised by this. And they picked up his option anyway. After all that, he got booked to be tag team champion with Big Bill. I saw people say, oh, well, he rejected creative. I don't think he rejected creative. He said that he didn't think it would be beneficial for Big Bill to lose to him, especially considering that he knew that he wanted to leave the company. Now, there were some situations that rubbed people the wrong way, but after he wrapped up his team with Big Bill, he was never on AEW TV again. At one point, he'd asked for his release. He did not get it. And to me, this one is way different than all the others. It's way different than Phoenix. It's way different than Miro. It's way different than Malachi Black. Malachi Black is one where they thought that he wanted out of the company a number of times. They had him on a deal, according to Tony Khan, until 2027 if they wanted to. And just categorically different. Malachi showed up and worked. That was that. Miro, they had some creative conflict with. A little bit different. Ricky was willing to show up to work, willing to wrestle, had just asked out of his deal, or had asked for the option to not be picked up. Then they picked it up and never used him after that. That one was puzzling. The Phoenix thing, again, way different, because there were rumors clearly founded of which Penta was negotiating a deal with months left on his deal. Now, we're not talking about like Jade Cargill as she's heading out the door, or Jeff Hardy after he's been fired, or Edge, Adam Copeland, after he realizes that that he's no longer going to have a deal with WWE, and they kind of let him go. Jordynne Grace negotiated her deal with time left on it in TNA, but there's a partnership there. TNA knew she was out the door, didn't mind. Cody Rhodes' deal expired, was still in AEW, worked out a WWE deal. This was way different. The Phoenix and Penta thing was them working out a deal months before their deals were up. So there was a lot of people that didn't seem like they wanted to play ball or were doing things in a different way. I didn't feel like Ricky did any of that. I felt like Ricky, of all the people, like played by their rules as well as he possibly could have. And I hate hearing the term hostage, people saying, ah, this person's held hostage. Buddy, I wish I could be held hostage and paid the level of which some of these people are paid. If I could make that money to not work, I would. Now, not necessarily an ideal situation, but you sign the contract, it goes both ways. You have to expect that. But also, if I were talent, I would start working into some of these deals. If you don't use me and I'm healthy in this amount of time, then I have an out on my deal. If agents aren't working that into deals moving forward with AEW, don't know what they're doing. That should absolutely be some. Scorpio Sky's barely been on that show for like 3 years. Like, why is he still there then? Look on the WWE side of things. Natalya signed a new deal last year. They really wanted to keep her. They paid her a lot of money. She's barely been on that show. That woman never wrestles on that show. She was on the Royal Rumble, and let's see, she hasn't wrestled on Raw in 2 months. Needs to be a clause, in my opinion, worked out by agents, which are becoming far more prevalent in wrestling, thankfully, that if you are not used and are healthy in a fixed period of time, you can get an out on that deal. If you so choose. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. We had a couple that we missed last week, and I want to apologize to Ryan and Christian. These were from the AEW show. Says, sorry this is late, but five for a five-star segment that Mariah versus Mariah match was hilarious. Had me laughing, coughing so hard, needed my inhaler. Give Tony a Grammy. Give Sir makes a lot of call. Tony Storm was phenomenal last week. Phenomenal. Ryan L says, possible women's tag belts in AEW. The cross promo belts would be good. I think they should unify all ROH titles except for one per division, men, women, singles tag. Call them the AEW honor titles and have them for younger talent, maybe under pure rules even. So this is something something that I have been passionate about. I'm glad they did it with the WWE women's tag belts, but I wish they would do it with the AEW trios titles and create women's tag titles and just call them world trios titles or world tag titles. In that sense, they can go across ROH, they can go across AEW, New Japan Strong if you want. But in WWE, I felt like they should have done something like that as well. Like, you know, the North American title, the IC and US could have been consolidated a little bit. I see a lot of people saying like Natalya is being paid as a trainer. That is absolutely not true. That is not in her job description for WWE. That was not like a negotiated part of her deal or anything like that. I do have an interview that I'm going to drop with Natalya here on youtube.com/Fightful soon. But by God, it's time to talk WWE Monday Night Raw. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. I want to know what you guys think of this show, what you guys think of these releases, all that good stuff. If you are new to the channel, we just dropped an interview with Buddy Matthews today. We also have History of Tribute to the Troops. Had an interview with PCO a couple weeks ago. Eric Bischoff, Swerve last week. Francine a couple weeks ago. Dropping interviews all over the place. And we're going to have some shorts as well. If you've never checked out our shorts tab, we have a lot of cool stuff over there. But again, I want to hear from you guys. By God. WWE Monday Night Raw. Jey Uso comes out. Man, this guy is so impossibly over. Like, I understand that a lot of people are looking at this and they're thinking about Jimmy and Jey last year. And that match sucked. It really did. But I don't know how you can see how over this guy is and think that it was a wrong decision. Do I think that Jay and Gunther will main event WrestleMania? No, I don't. Could it? Yeah, you could have 65,000 people yeeting all over Las Vegas. Like you for sure could. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. That's how over Jey Uso is. But I can't look at this and say, oh, it was a wrong decision. He's one of the most over people in the company. Now, of course, I'll look at it and say, well, John Cena, they finally get him cheered and here's what happens. But that's fine. He's got another path. He's got the Elimination Chamber. But Gunther effectively chooses Jay for him, which I don't know why Gunther did that after last week, like levy the attack and all that, but he wasn't happy about it. They get into the fight, and then Jay says, me and you at Mania. And this is after he went to SmackDown to see Cody. Notice, he didn't even bother with NXT. He's like, Obafemi, I'm good, buddy. Not picking you. We're set there. Made that decision very, very easy for him. He's like, nah, I'm good on the Obafemi decision. He's got other stuff to deal with on Tuesdays. But right now, Jay's got to go back and do the yeet over and over again. I'll tell you what I liked and get to talk about. Jimmy showing how charismatic he is on Friday as well. A lot of people forget about that. Like, Jay was known as the in-ring guy. Jimmy was known as the charismatic guy. Yeah. Our good friend Demon Divas says, I don't blame him. Me either. Like, that's like the deal or no deal, right? Like, just throw that case out the window. The Obafemi case is not getting selected. It's between Cody and it's between Gunther. He at least is familiar with them. But I would love that. Like Trevor says, I wish he would have said that about Oba. He should. I think it'd be very, very funny if he did that. If he popped up on like NXT or something like that, and he that would put Obafemi over an awful lot. Or on commentary tomorrow, they should say that. Like if I were Vic Joseph or Corey Graves or Booker T, I'd be like, you'll notice that Jey Uso didn't even consider our guy. He didn't even give it a thought. Wasn't even a possibility. Man. Mr. Straight Fire says, Sean, when someone asked if Jey could win the Rumble, you said, no way. Paraphrasing. When you asked, when asked you if the Cena presser could be a heel turn, you said the same thing. Don't you think that'd be the ultimate fan service for his farewell tour? Heel, at least. Yeah, I sincerely thought Jey Uso was not winning that Rumble. I did not think so. I thought it would be either Cena or Punk, maybe. I did not think Jey Uso was going to do that because I didn't think that they would have Jey Uso win that Royal Rumble right after losing a world title match to Gunther on Saturday night's main event. Now, I would be interested to hear from the chat, what does the fact that Jey Uso lost already at Saturday night's main event, how did that affect how you felt about the Royal Rumble? Positive, negative, indifferent? And how does it make you feel about them doing this match again at Mania? To me, one of the things I always love about Mania is like the first time people touch in that sense. But it doesn't have to always be that, right? Like Bret and Austin had... Yeah, they were in the Royal Rumble together. They were in the Final Four together. They had done the Survivor Series match together. That was like the fourth pay-per-view over the course of like 5 months that they did, and they still had an all-time great match. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yes, it's going to be an all-time great match, but I definitely wrote Jey Uso off of that Rumble, and they showed me. I was shocked. As far as John Cena turning heel, like, at most, I could see it being like a 1 month Shawn Michaels 2005 on Hogan type of thing. You know, like one of those. and the audience loved them. I can't see it lasting that long. But hey, if you're having trouble lasting long,
we've been telling you guys about Blue Chew for years and we ain't stopping anytime soon. That confidence, that performance, that edge that you're going to get in the bedroom and mentally when you check out BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. First shipment free. Yes, shipment. That's because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, have any awkward conversations with doctors, you're questioned online, and if approved, this ships straight to your door. It excludes all the awkwardness. Now listen, so will that confidence. That's going to get rid of a lot of that awkwardness as well. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know it's going to work. They know it's going to work. And that's why they're willing to give you that first shipment free at BlueChew.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Take control. Handle your business. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
I do need to update these reads, by the way. Thank you to our friends at BlueChew. But you don't need a code anymore. Their deal just extends. Their deal is just good to go now. Don't even need the code. I'll mute it in the future. But Blue Chew, our longest-lasting sponsor, make sure that make sure that you last as well. Tim Traver says, please go and support those that have been released from AEW and WWE. Please be positive and not negative. I agree. Send these people well wishes. Send these people your love. Let them know that. Let them know something that you love that they did, like any of that stuff, man. Like, we have the unfortunate duty of reporting an awful lot of these, but I try my best to reach out to these people and you let them know that if they need anything promoted or pushed or anything, we'll type up an article on it and, you know, promote their pro wrestling tees stores and upcoming appearances and all that good stuff. Support them, show them some love. We got Dark Fiend saying, looking at his history, is Miro considered problematic? If I remember right, he left WWE on sort of bad terms. Now the extended AEW issue with the release. I don't remember him leaving on bad terms. I remember him not agreeing to a contract extension and then them cutting him. That was a very unusual thing that WWE did back then. That they do differently now. I'll give you an example. Sonya Deville wasn't released. She was informed her contract would not be extended. In 2020, like Miro had turned down a new deal. Matt Cardona had turned down a new deal. And they effectively cut them during a period of time of which their deals would have been up like a few weeks later anyway. It was very strange. It seemed like a power move then. And now it's just a little bit different in that sense. Corbin was informed his deal would not be renewed as well. Oh, man. Damage Control defeated Raquel and Liv. So this was bittersweet for me because this match kicked ass. Kicked ass. First off, Dakota Kai's chiropractor, phenomenal move. Raquel and Liv doing the Shatter Machine, fantastic. Io being involved in this in the midst of her she is getting a title shot and killing it. Phenomenal move. This type of match is exactly what the women's tag team division needs. They need slappers. They need bangers. They need matches to make you show that they care. And this is also evidence of something I'm going to tell you later on in the show about Lyra losing while holding a title. About Isla Dawn being cut while she was in a tag team that held the tag team titles, of which WWE does not have many tag teams. If you give them the time, if you give them the creative, they can get over. And that's what these four women did. Now you have Liv Morgan, you put an awful lot into her. Io Sky, former world champion. Dakota Kai is a person that people have gotten behind. And Raquel has had, listen, she's had a rough go of it since coming back. And tonight was a phenomenal performance. It's the best she's looked in the ring since she's come back. This is what you need from this division. So I don't think that cutting those women and making less teams to care about
is that move. Now, listen, Pure Fusion Collective, they clearly had no consistent vision for it. Natalya was supposed to be in it originally, wasn't. Sonya didn't end up being what they hoped in that regard. But this is what the division needs, and they got to book it that way as well. Like, we have seen Zoe Stark go out there with Shayna and have these slapper tag team matches when they get the time, but you also have to have something creatively satisfying as well, and they got to do that. Liv got split open by a knee. As best I know, she's okay. We're going to have a whole bunch of scoops on FightfulSelect.com, the best $6 a month in the business tomorrow. I want to apologize. The Raw Scoops thread was supposed to post at like 7:30. Do not know why it didn't, but Patreon said they'd take care of it. But we will have a bunch of scoops tomorrow. Producers, writers, updates, some people who were there backstage. But Maddie Mania says the women's tag match was so good. Liv and Io have amazing chemistry. They've been doing great work lately. They really have. Io seems very motivated right now. And not to say that I know her motivation levels in general, but they are magic together. And Dakota being able to come back from that concussion relatively quickly. Good. Lash, Dakara, and Shotzi, Gigi Tatum are waiting in NXT. Plus Fatal Influence. Yeah, they need to call up at least two tag teams. At least two tag teams. I think JC Jane should have been called up well over a year ago. She should have been called up a long time ago. So backstage, we saw the Judgment Day meeting. We'll talk more about that later. But Rhea approaches Io and she's like, I'm not giving you a match because I feel bad for you. I'm giving you a match because I want to. And this stems from Rhea costing Io her Elimination Chamber qualifier. And it's set for the night after Elimination Chamber. Well, first off, hell yeah. This is a rare instance of you come off of a loss and you should have a title shot. This makes a lot of sense. Like, she recognizes that she cost Io Sky a shot at the Elimination Chamber. And it's like, okay, well, Io was not happy about it. How do you make it up to this person that you respect? You say, all right, I'll just assume you would have won that match and you get a title shot against me. I loved it. It made an awful lot of sense. Lucky Charm says, I'd be down for Rhea, Liv, Io at Mania. I know that Liv will still do some tag stuff. I think she's earned a world title match at Mania. Rhea, Liv, Io have been intertwined for months. It would make sense. Well, I see our good friend Ibu, who's been tweeting again, saying like maybe it's Bianca, Rhea, and Io. And he's been big on the Rhea, Io stuff. Like when he was on our show, he was big on that agenda. And Io is so good that I think it's possible. But if they go Roman, Seth, and Punk, I think, well, one, that would be on one night, and this triple threat, whichever it may be, would have to be on the next night, as opposed to, you know, as opposed to doing that. Asuka is also being discussed for creative plans, as Vicky brought up. Becky Lynch still isn't in the fold. We don't know what she's doing yet. There's a lot of chips that still have to fall, and they need tag teams. They need to get that settled and squared away. Intercontinental and U.S. title, where are the chips going to fall there? We're about to talk about it because Bayley and Lyra had a hard-hitting match. Like, they were beating the shit out of each other. I saw some people that were like, oh, this match is falling apart. I liked this match. Like, I don't know. Maybe I missed something. The only spot that I was like, oh, that didn't look good was when Lyra went for the tornado DDT and they said she didn't get all of it, but then Bayley immediately reversed her into the Bayley to belly. So I thought that worked really well. I thought that ended up going really, really well for the sake of the match. Then Lyra did it outside the ring and hit a fisherman suplex on the mats.
Oh my God, that had to hurt. Then goes back in the ring, does one. Lyra's motor is nonstop. And she's in there with Bayley. Bayley like never gets tired. If she does, I've never seen it. But like Bayley is such a phenomenal ring general as well. There was the hanging leg drop over the top rope, which not usually a spot that I like, but I thought that it worked really well here. Bayley beating Lyra. Don't generally have much of a problem with that. Bayley is one of the all-time greats in the women's division. What I have more of an issue with is Lyra, who just won that title, being booked in a situation where she needs to take a pin because she doesn't need to take a pin. I feel like Lyra should be looking to make her title something special. So immediately after winning that, she's going after somebody else's title. And, you know, listen, I can get it. It's the world title. So I could certainly understand that. But Roxanne's out there. I thought maybe she would cook up something, maybe cause an issue, but that didn't end up happening. And I saw some people saying like, oh, well, it's just a roll-up. Listen, it doesn't matter. There's no just a roll-up. The point is you pin somebody's shoulder to the mat. That's it. Pin their shoulders to the mat. I would like the Intercontinental and U.S. champion to not be put in a position where they need to lose. Have them develop contenders underneath their title, because this is the issue that I've had with women's booking in WWE for so long. Develop contenders. But you don't develop a contender. Instead, what you have is Lyra, who just lost, being confronted by Ivy Nile, of whom I adore as a person, as a performer, as a wrestler, as a professional. When's the last time Ivy Nile wrestled on Raw? Well, the last time she wrestled on Raw was her losing to Lyra Valkyria. Lyra Valkyria, sorry about that. In early December in an Intercontinental title tournament match. How about before that? Well, it was the month prior. She was losing again. Ivy Nile has not won a match since October on Raw. She's won on Main Event. But like, show us that. Like, if you want me to buy that, sure. Throw together a 20-second clip and be like, she beat Natalya. Be like, have her beat somebody else on Main Event. Could have had her beat Isla Dawn before she left, but instead, Isla Dawn was beating her last year. Show us some of the other stuff that she was doing. Have her win on speed. Something like that. Just show us that she's won something to get that title shot besides declaring, I want a title shot. All you got, spend some of that time on Main Event and show us. Dream Ninja says, Rhea, Bianca, Io would steal Mania. It'd be an insane match. It would be an insane match. I do think that Rhea and Bianca itself is a big, big, big time match, though. Roxanne Perez will face Raquel next week. Should be interesting. KE775 says, is it possible WWE will pay Anderson until he recovers? Seems callous to cut him while he's injured. It's very weird to cut him while he was injured and hasn't been cleared yet. And they don't know when he'll be cleared. I'm going to try to find out what I can. I hit up Gallows and he said he wants to do some stuff that he can talk about, but we'll see. We'll see. But I was really, really perplexed about Anderson getting released while he was injured. Leave a thumbs up on this video, you guys. It would mean an awful lot. There's thousands of you watching. I would like about 234,000 thumbs up on this video. I don't ask for much, right? I just ask you to subscribe to Fightful Select. Leave us a 5-star review on all the audio platforms. Follow us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram. Like us on Facebook. Retweet our streams. Comment on the videos. Join our Fightful Select Discord. Follow all the Fightful personalities. Send us Humper Chats. Send us Super Chats.
I don't ask for much in this world. Watch our new videos, support our interviews, go visit Fightful.com. I'm a very easy person to please. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon. Not asking for a whole lot here. Learn Spanish and then follow the new Fightful Espanol on Twitter. I'm low bar for me here. You know what I mean? Cash at me, Venmo me, Sean Ross Sapp. Just send me all of your money directly. I don't care. Very easy to please. Send fruit emojis, thumbs ups, tap the bell for notifications. Like, steal your mom's wallet, give me her credit card number. Just run-of-the-mill stuff like that. Just very, very basic stuff. What else do we got here on this show? AJ Styles is back. He's interrupted by Dom. I like this as a feud. Alex Smith says, it's crazy to think in 2 years, AJ Styles will be in WWE longer than he is in TNA, if he makes it that far. I've had a lot of people asking about his contract status. He'll have at least like 4 months added to it. But I don't know how long is left on his deal. I know that there were people around like the circuits, like conventions and autograph signings and memorabilia places asking, like inquiring about booking him. So we'll see how that unfolds, but he comes out, cuts a promo, and he said that things just didn't go the way that he wanted to with his return. Thought it was going to be a career-ending injury. Upon hearing the injury, I didn't think it'd be career-ending. I've had that injury before. It definitely feels like at the time when you have it, like that you'll never be able to walk appropriately again. But Rafael Garcia says, I'm normally very calm and level-headed, but I watched his interview with Denise. I heard what he said, so I must ask, what does Carlito even do? We need a new member. You need to break up. No, Liv, it's not Sean and Nash. It's Sable and Bass. I'm okay now. Carlito got heat tonight. Like, Dominic came out and got booed, and I will say this every time. A couple years ago, there were a whole bunch of friggin' dummies that didn't understand what I was saying. They used to lay in audio over top of the broadcast of Dominic getting additional boos. And it wasn't natural. It wasn't good. And he did not need it. He gets heat for the live crowd. So now you see him directly reacting to that live crowd instead of not reacting to a laid in audio over top. And it works out so much better because then you see the reactions of the talent in the ring every week. Then Carlito comes out and now Carlito is getting heat. NYC Demi Divas says his hair looked phenomenal. It did look phenomenal. It looked great. I don't miss my long hair. Listen, I can't get mine going right now. What the hell's going on here? What's going on? AJ Styles says that he wants a match with Dominic. He gets it. And then he comes face to face with Braun Breaker. Looks like Brock Lesnar has yeed his last haul there, fellas. They even gave Braun Breaker the cowboy hat. Toodles, bro. See you later. Ludwig Kaiser interview. Talking about Penta after this vignette. This was good stuff. Penta is going to face Pete Dunne next week, though. So they are at least teasing Pete Dunne and Ludwig Kaiser doing a little bit of something together. But Tyler Bate's been at that performance center. So it would make sense if Penta was joined by Tyler Bate a little bit. But I was digging the Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne tag team as well. And I have concerns that Tyler Bate will be lost in the shuffle if he's not teaming with Pete Dunne. Because I really like them as a team. Matthew Hamm sent a super chat, says, what other matches are set for Elimination Chamber besides the Chambers? So far, it's just the two Chambers set. So far. Seth Rollins goes to cut a promo. He is interrupted by Finn Balor. They've got their match next week. I like these promos up in the upper parts of the arena. They go really, really well. It's a different setting. It's something I always bang that drum with wrestling shows. It doesn't have to be out in the ring in front of everybody. It can be amongst the people. It can be backstage. It can be any number of those things. But also, you got Jackie Redmond there. One of the things that is always like a big issue with me was having a babyface come out with a microphone, take center stage, say, everybody look at me. Everybody all around, look at me. Now listen to me complain and whine about something. Listen to me talk about something when I could be letting you all just watch wrestling. But if you have an interviewer prompting them, asking these questions, it's clear that their time was requested. It wasn't like Seth Rollins got a microphone. He said, guys, I know you're here to watch wrestling, but let me bring the show to a screeching halt by talking about all my problems. No, it's Jackie Redmond requesting this man's time and asking him questions. And it works. It goes a long way, but they never used to do that. Like 2017, 2018, Finn Balor comes out. He took issue also with a lot of things. And Dominic was like pushing back on him backstage. He's like, no. You're not treating me like that. Like not as blatant as I just said it, but I was digging this. Like eventually Dominic is going to get over as a baby face. I think I really do. War Raiders versus Creeds. So again, I love the Creeds. I love the War Raiders. There were parts of this match that I loved, really loved, thought were just really kick ass. Why would this finish happen like this? What benefit would it be to the Creeds? How did the Creeds get this match? Well, let's go back. Last week, they beat the Alpha Academy on Main Event. In early December, which is the last time they wrestled, 2 months before, they beat the LWO on Main Event. Late November, they beat the LWO on Raw. Could remind us of that. You could say, you know, they've been on a little bit of a hot streak. But there was nothing recently that made us go, oh, yeah, well, they should have gotten that tag title match. I'm glad that they got it coming off of wins, but Main Event exists of a planet of its own. WWE is in this weird area where nobody earns title shots. And even if they have, they ignore that these people earned the title shots. But then what was up with this finish? And again, not criticizing the human because Julius Creed did not book this. But the War Raiders are about to finish off Brutus. And instead of just hitting Ivar, like just cracking him, punching him, which would have stopped the momentum of the move just the same, he grabs the title belt and cracks him over the head and gets DQ'd. So, and I understand Chad Gable told him when he returned that they better all have gold. Great. I'm glad that he did. Then show them going into Adam Pearce's office and say, you know what? We've beaten these two teams. We beat Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio. We beat Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. We beat Akira Tozawa and Otis. We deserve this title shot. Cool. Even if it wasn't on Raw, just have them say it. You know what, guys? I agree with that. And then afterwards, you've got Adam Pearce able to go to them and say, guys, I gave you an opportunity and you blew it. Why on earth would I give you another title shot after you cracked a guy in the head with a belt? How does that earn American or American made another title match? See what I mean? Like, it's puzzling.
in that sense. And somebody says, well, it sets up a continuation of the feud instead of having Creed's take a pinfall. Why would Adam Pearce give them another title shot? The champs are going to want payback. Okay, so because the War Raiders are like, oh, we're so mad they hit us with the belt, let's give them a title shot. I'm just like, Adam, let's just move on. Tim Traver says, I want to say thanks, SRS, for giving me tips and tricks for everything about YouTube stuff. Use it all the time. Go support Fightful. Go support Fightful Select. I appreciate you, Tim. Go check out the Diecast Collective. Ah, man. I do hope this sets up an ODQ. I do hope that the War Raiders say, we do want revenge. And Adam Pearce says, why on earth would I give them another title shot? CM Punk shows up. he brings up John Cena not having to qualify for the Elimination Chamber. And he's like, you know, man's a legend. I got unfinished business with some people in this match. Then Logan Paul comes out. Glad they're just getting him on TV, by the way. Punk, that is, not Logan Paul. But Punk's like, I didn't even know whose music that was. And Pat McAfee says, seems to be a recurring theme. We published a report last week on FightfulSelect.com, the best $6 in the business. Whole lot of talent not happy about the Def Rebel themes. They're ass, bro. They suck. They're not good. They're very bad. A number of wrestlers that I talked to said that they've tried to get their old themes back to no avail. To no avail. But Def Rebel is not good. I don't think I've seen one person pop up and be like, you know what? They're really great. I actually like them. I haven't seen one person. Man. Do you know somebody? Is somebody in your life a Def Rebel truther? Hit me up. Let me know. I want to find these people. I might do an interview with them. No, now somebody will be performative. So now you'll have somebody that makes it their gimmick. I saw somebody the other day that was like, man, they had a hit with that Roman Reigns theme, though, the original one. And I'm like, guys, it's inspired by the Succession theme song. They almost didn't do the Young Bucks theme in AEW because they thought that too many people would tie it to Roman Reigns instead of Succession. Let's talk about Logan Paul beating Rey Mysterio. Really good match. Really good match. Logan Paul's finish is phenomenal. It's really, really good. I don't know how many people he'll be able to do that to besides Ray, but it was awesome. I am old enough to remember 11 years ago when people were livid about Rey Mysterio showing up in the Royal Rumble. Livid, my friends. He looked cooked. He wore the baggy pants to cover up the knee braces and all that stuff, but like he just wasn't the same guy. And, you know, people were like, okay, you know what? He'll have his indie run and all that stuff. And that'll be nice and probably call it a career. He'll get his Hall of Fame induction and all that. And we are going on how many years, like 6 years since Rey Mysterio-ish, yeah, came back. And this dude rules. He is 50. He's 50. He's like 7 or 8 years older than Hogan and Piper when they had that absolute stinker at Starrcade. Like, and obviously he can't do everything that he once did. But I mean, he can still do so much stuff that he was doing back in the day. And
he shouldn't be able, he should not be able to be better than he was in 2014. And he's phenomenal. He's exactly the type of person you want Logan Paul in the ring with. Main eventing a live WWE Monday Night Raw. Now, Logan Paul has had some major matches. But let's be clear here. We're not, let's take Money in the Bank ladder matches out of it and Royal Rumbles out of it. He is a guy who has had just above a dozen matches. It's still impressive what he's doing. Guy has not had a match under 11 minutes yet. And this is the guy that he worked in his first match ever. And he's worked Rey Mysterio a bunch. Like, they've got good chemistry with one another. It is still impressive what Logan Paul is able to do. 16 matches, 17 matches total. And again, two of those are Royal Rumbles. One of them's a ladder match, I think. It's very impressive. They have an incredible amount of confidence working with one another, and you can tell that. And also, I believe Shane Helms deserves an awful lot of credit for the work that he has put in helping Logan Paul. Artich says, I have to ask, why won't WWE get rid of Def Rebel? I don't know what type of agreement or contract they have, but like, I think we could all agree, like, had they got Mikey Ruckus, they would have been a lot better off. Would have been a lot better off. I am not of the belief that Jim Johnson should come back. Jim Johnson's 70-something. JM says, WWE should ask for TNA's music producer. I don't know who that is. I know the old one works for AEW now. Dale Oliver, the one who did the old AJ Styles theme, he actually works for AEW now. Are Def Rebel cheaper? Yeah, I think... No. I don't think they're more cost-effective than Mikey Ruckus. Hey, look, you better believe this. Whatever Mikey Ruckus is getting paid, he's worth a lot more. AEW was lucky to have him for the rate that they had him for 5 years, and they're still very lucky to have him after they reached a new deal. Will says, how is Ray 50 and he still puts on good matches? It's amazing, man. It is amazing. Do they still have a relationship with Josiah Williams? If not, they should. But I mean, also, they should have a team. They should have some rock producers, some pop producers, some hip hop producers, all that stuff. They really should. Back in my day, lots of rock bands would be really ecstatic about WWE using their songs as themes. But now it feels like WWE prefers not to. Jumanji Hunter says, Io versus Rhea alone not being at Mania sucks. Dependent on what they have planned for Io. Because if they have something good planned for Io, I'm fine with that. And I think that Rhea and Bianca is worthy of a WrestleMania match. If they didn't do it now, I'm completely fine with that. Like, I was a little bit surprised to hear that that was the plan. Or at least as of, as of the week before the Royal Rumble, that was the plan. Because this year doesn't fit as much. But like in future years, of course. Of course. Last call, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If you have not checked out our new info docs here on Fightful, we're taking a shot at them, guys. Like I've mentioned this before, the algorithm does not favor us. I've tried to put more appropriate interviews on the Fightful Wrestling channel. But we have the history of WWE tribute to the troops. We have the exodus of New Japan to WWE. We've got a bunch of interviews. We have, of course, nightly shows here on Fightful. Raw, NXT, Dynamite, ROH and TNA, SmackDown, and Collision all have post shows here on Fightful. In addition, we'll have you covered this Saturday for NXT Vengeance Day.
throughout the week, Beyond the Bell Tuesday mornings, The Hump on Wednesdays with myself and Jimmy Van, completely interactive show. Saturday, Grapsody. I mean, they go like 3+ hours. They're at it nonstop. And also over on Fightful Overbooked, In the Weeds is now on 5 mornings a week. I love it. Listen, I know we're known for the paywall, but we have more free content than any wrestling website in existence. Jumanji Hunter says, Rhea, Bianca deserves a long build to Mania. Yeah, I feel like it should be one of those things where it is like an undeniable feud and it's like they finally clash. To me, there are so many question marks that I don't necessarily know where everything else falls. Like, it seems pretty clear that Charlotte and Tiffany is one of them. But as far as everything else, it's tough to say. I want to thank our moderator, Luis. A reminder, we are on platforms everywhere. If you've got it, we've got it. Audio platforms, video platforms, social media, Fightful Español, by God. We're going to be launching a Spanish language Patreon soon, as Luis is making sure that I see this, because got on him about missing a couple last week. He says, obviously releases suck. Do you think if no plans for wrestlers and release them or just park them until their contract is up? Well, that can always change, right? Like, you can say, oh, well, we don't have plans for them now, but then the right thing comes up. If I were AEW, I would have used Ricky Starks over the last 3 months. Capitalize on that heat, make a memorable storyline, maybe get some people interested watching your show. And then if you lose him, you lose him. But if you can talk him into staying and you retain him and you've got a possible world champion tier talent that is now happy and can see what you'll do for them, well, then you get to keep a major talent because you are handing a guy to AEW or to WWE that is going to do well in WWE. He is going to fit like a glove in WWE. From what I understand, like, he's a very creative, interesting guy, but he's also a guy that is willing to read straight off of a script, but you will never know it, right? Based on his delivery. WWE loves that. And Cody Rhodes loves Ricky Starks. But even if Cody Rhodes was not in the equation, WWE would be signing Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks is an undeniable talent. He is good in the ring. He has charisma. He can perform. He can go off the cuff. He is tailor-made for WWE. We have seen that Miro and Malakai Black can work in WWE. But to be fair, we have also seen some people come back to WWE and just it's they aren't what we thought they were. It remains to be seen how that will work. Guys, thank you all so much. Leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're watching after the fact, leave a comment on this video. Tell us where you think these people are going to go. I know one thing. I'm coming right back here on Wednesday. Till next time, we're out.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with. Like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.